Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Glenbrook's latest podcast. And today I am joined by that industrial legend, Anthony O'Keefe. Good afternoon, Anthony.
Hello, Chris. Upton calling. How's the lockdown in Timperley?
It's amazing. It's amazing. So we're recording this on Friday the 17th of April, and we obviously still right in the middle of the lockdown. We were told last night, well, we've got another 3 weeks of this at least, so that's brilliant. Yeah, that's great. That's great news. So, Anthony, I think maybe just to explain to the listeners who you are and where you come from. A bit of a career summary would be interesting.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of interference there, Chris. Is that me or you?
I think it's you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Just a brief introduction. Tony O'Keefe, director at LM6 Commercial Property, industrial agents, specialists, based in Knowsley, cover the northwest. Advise a series of clients, landlords, corporate clients, down to local, across the region, and across all sectors within the industrial market. So, brief overview of me. I've been in the business 25 years. Graduated in 96 from Sheffield Poly, as was. I think that's where Pat's first crossed, Christopher.
It was.
Back in early 93 or what have you. But after I graduated in 96, played a bit of rugby in France for a couple of seasons. Started work then in London, in the industrial sector, on a regeneration project in the East End, Shoreditch and Hackney, before moving into the West End and traditional industrial agency position at CBRE. Moved up to Manchester in 2003, I think, where I was working previously with DTZ, and then set up LM6 5 years ago with Phil Morley, and we've been going from strength to strength from there on. So, that's a brief pop in my background.
Okay. So you were...
You're not eating there, are you, Christopher, while you're recording this?
No, I just had a drink. Excuse me. you were sort of broke up a little bit there, but I think I've got the gist of it. You've been at this for 25 years, and in those 25 years, have you ever encountered anything like COVID-19 and its implications?
Well, I've had the sniffles in the past, which meant I had to take off 3 or 4 days of work, but not everyone in the whole country and everyone in the whole world. And I think this is unprecedented times for absolutely everybody, isn't it? So interesting times ahead. I suppose the one interesting thing about this, it affects absolutely everybody at the same time as well, which... again, it's we haven't had a global pandemic since the Spanish flu 100-odd years ago.
Yeah. So as a that's right. As a business, what have LM6 done about it? What have you done?
I think off the bat, there's immediate things you've got to do in terms of staying safe, keeping your staff safe. Mitigate exposure to risk, just keep everyone safe and away from the virus. So we've done that. We've limited the time for everyone in the office. We've made sure everyone has got the resource to work from home. And indeed, now there's nothing we can't do from our home base that we can't do in the office. So. So in terms of that, technology has really helped us out, as I'm sure it has companies across the country. I mean, but the real issue for us is, in terms of our day-to-day business, you know, we talk to people on the phone, we try and get them to view properties, we, you know, have face-to-face meetings. All that is now out of the window. So it's making our job very difficult at the minute.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Where was the market up to? Where was the industrial market up to before the outbreak? Was it going great guns? Was it, you know, you hear lots of positive things about the industrial market.
Yeah, I suppose the thing to remember is that before this crisis, we were muddling through the Brexit crisis, which seems, although not that long ago, it seems like an age away now. So that was quite a frustrating influence on the market last year. You know, we had essentially a constipated government, and it wasn't until the election or what have you that they got a decent working majority, and that reduced a lot of the uncertainty for the market. But, you know, notwithstanding Brexit, last year's take on figures across the UK, relatively positive, you know, in terms of buildings over 100,000 square foot in the industrial world. You look at a take of about 34 million, 136 deals. Just to give that some context, you know, that's up on the long-term average by 31% and 24% respectively. So, you know, quite positive, really, notwithstanding all those changes. One of the other interesting trends about last year as well, in terms of take-up, Amazon have dominated take-up in the last couple of years. But last year, they only accounted for 11% of UK take-up, which means all the other guys, all the other occupiers are catching up, which has given the market a bit of greater depth as well. I mean, that was the UK story. In terms of, you know, if you zoom down there to the Northwest, you know, take-up at 3.2 million square feet. That's against the long-term average of 3.6 million, so... You know, only 400,000 square foot away, which, when you look at these figures, could be one or two deals a year, you know.
Yeah.
But that was 17 deals last year. So, you know, relatively positive.
Okay. And one assumes demand has just fallen off a cliff, or has it?
It has, in large respects. However, I mean, there are obviously certain elements of the market which are pushing on. You know, if you look at medicines, pharmaceuticals, we're all stuck in at the minute. So obviously, groceries, you know, food and drink sector, all these kind of almost emergency services. Are going great guns at the moment, and booming. You know, there's a lot of short-term requirements out there looking for space. I mean, just locally, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who he makes pallets. He's never been so busy, he says. And he's made up now as an essential worker. So if there's a pallet manufacturer busy and the full production, then that shows you that the world hasn't fallen off a cliff. It's still turning. Stuff still needs to be delivered. PPE to the frontline nurses. You know, food and drink to everyone locked in at home. So the market is far from dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are strange times.
Yes, they are indeed. So, one of the sort of the chatter doing the rounds is whether this pandemic is going to change the property market forever. I mean, it certainly looks as though it is accelerating the death of parts of the high street that was struggling anyway. Do you see any long-term structural changes to the industrial market? Well, and I know it's very, very early stages, but you're a bit of a sage on these things, Anthony. You know,
Well, thanks for that. But I think the important thing to note there is that e-commerce has been the real story of the industrial world and property, to my mind, for the last, particularly the last 5 years, how that's really disrupted the retail sector. You know, the growth of Amazon has just been phenomenal. Growth in online sales is, you know, exponential. And we are becoming more and more used to shopping online. That's demonstrated in all the figures. Now, I think what this COVID crisis will show is that you'll see an acceleration of that change. And whether, a lot of us are now forced to shop online because of lockdown, whether that will become habitual going forward. Now, I know we're talking to friends. There's also a desire, I think, to shop local, which is quite interesting.
Well, it's not necessarily...
To support local businesses and industries. And a lot of those local guys now are online and they're delivering and stepping up to the plates and not just expecting you to walk through the front door. To get really granular, you know, our local butchers in Grimsby at Lewis's, you know, online, they'll deliver the same day. That's great stuff. We never used to previously go to those guys. We'll be continuing using them going forward. So for the big boys like Amazon, that's one thing. But for the local guys as well, are they changing their retail proposal? And will they benefit going forward off the back of that? I don't know. Probably, maybe.
Yeah, so that's interesting, isn't it? So local retailers going into or ramping up, I think they've always delivered, haven't they, butchers? But local retailers ramping up their sort of their delivery capability, will that result? It must result in a reduction in their retail square footage requirement, but an increase in their sort of back office isn't the right word, but you know what I mean, their back storage requirements
slightly off piece there with that one, but
it's good.
I mean, if we talk about post COVID as well, we're not even over Brexit yet, don't forget, and that's going to have a massive effect on everyone going forward, because you know, the country has still got to work out who it's going to start aligning itself with. Is it going to be with the EU? Is it going to be with America? And I only raise this, I realise I'm sweeping across, you know, huge issues here, but I think there was a bit of a feeling of, you know, getting back to that kind of made in Britain idea, bringing a bit of manufacturing back to the UK, thinking a bit more locally about, you know, diversifying our sector as UK PLC in some ways. And I think COVID is showing up there that, you know, if the NHS staff on the front line haven't got enough adequate PPE because we're importing from other countries, then have we gone too far with this kind of globalisation idea and shifting everything off to Eastern Europe or to Asia or what have you? Do we need to bring a bit of that manufacturing back to the UK? I mean, that's another point to consider as well.
I didn't realise you've turned into Nigel Farage, but yeah, you might have a point there.
Bit of a stream of consciousness here, I appreciate, Chris. I've been locked up for a month now. But it will be a changing world when we come back. You know, obviously there's going to be a huge hit to the economy. You know, again, unprecedented. You know, everyone seems to think, or we're told by those in the know, the economists, that that's going to be, although it'll be a depression, but it'll be a fast bounce back. But the world is going to be different.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to that point, you know, that new world, I think these changes will accelerate changes that we've already seen, and one of them principally, you know, is e-commerce.
How about the growth in third party logistics? Do you think that will inevitably continue to grow, won't it?
Well, absolutely. The more that goes online, then the more that needs to be shifted. And you know, those 3PLs that are there to sort out all that logistics. Yeah. So inevitably that will follow. Yeah.
So have you seen any such requirements circulating recently, or has it all just been emergency short term?
I think in the last weeks it's just been knee jerk, really. It's just been you know, supermarkets, the pharma companies, etc., just looking to get stuff out there on a short term basis.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So,
I mean, that's another question though for landlords, really. I mean, I'm just throw it out there and pose it in a minute, but you know, the market fundamentals are still sound. There's still, you know, not a great deal of oversupply, and there's still strong take up. The advantage when everyone goes back to work would be obviously all the building sites and what have you are, you know, there's no activity on site. So there's going to be a huge lag in new kit coming forward. So for those that have already got built kit and standing or recently built or refurbed, they'll be in a decent position to hopefully benefit from that bounce back in occupier demand as and when.
Yeah, soak up demand.
We're all allowed to go back. So, but the question is, though, if there are short-term requirements floating around for 3 months or 6 months, do you fill that void with a requirement which may hamper your landing a bigger deal later on in the year on a, you know, an institutional basis? Just a question. Put that out there, a quandary for everyone to think about.
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, it says, industrial investments have been, especially multi-let industrial investments have been the darling of the property market for the last, 5 or 6 years, certainly. Really rivaled by PRS, I suppose, and possibly Manchester City Centre new office grade A offices. I can only see them being multi-let industrial being of more, you know, there being more demand for it, and I'm kind of thinking that there might be a bit of yield compression. It still might be some yield compression to come through in that market.
Well, you know, it's been quite well documented about the you know, about a lot of occupiers withholding the rents and what have you to get through this period. And I suppose, you know, multi-let industrials gives you the diverse portfolio, doesn't it, within that, because there's a whole range of occupiers, and a lot of those industrial occupiers will be doing quite well at the minute, you know. So it'd be interesting to see the rent collection rates between the sectors anyway when someone gets around to doing all these figures. And that would suggest that, you know, industrial is quite well insulated against that.
So far.
And that's also another point as well. I mean, coming through this COVID crisis, cash flow is absolutely critical to everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily, you know, this quarter, I think, where that's going to really impact. It's next quarter and the quarter after that, you know. So I think an important message out there for everyone is partnerships, really. So landlords working with their incumbent tenants, you know, should everyone be talking about, you know, rent holidays, working with each other, putting in plans to get us through, you know, this crisis and the 6 and 9 months after, so that'll lead to a long-term 5-10 year relationship. So I mean, I think a critical thing for everyone to say is, you know, if you're an occupier, speak to your landlord.
Yeah, you're right. It's communication.
Speak to your tenant.
Yeah, it's communication.
Because it's all about relationships. And if we can, you know, if a landlord can help an occupier out for, you know, a 3-month holiday or a 4-month holiday or whatever it is, or some other way, just to help them out in cash flow now, I'm sure that'll be reciprocated further on down the line in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So I think that landlord-tenant partnership is really, you know, everyone should make the most of that, those connections at the during this time, really.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. Interesting stuff. When do you think, just to sort of wrap up, what's your prediction? When do you think we'll be back? Sat at our desks?
God knows. I think it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I heard on the radio that someone thought they might have a vaccine by September. So if there's a vaccine coming through in September, then will we be in lockdown to that point? Why would anyone kind of loosen the lockdown if there was a vaccine on the horizon? But I don't know.
Just because of the ongoing crippling of the UK economy, I think that's probably why
the... Well, the damage has been done already, hasn't it? Doesn't matter if it's another couple of months.
I think it does. But anyway. Right. you're a shed agent, Anthony, not an economist.
You know, we'll get through this. There's obviously a human, you know, massive human impact, which has got to be absorbed, and everyone get over that. Economically, like I say, it'll be interesting because we've got COVID and Brexit to sort out. I think it's a bit of a get out of jail card for Boris on Brexit, because whatever economic damage Brexit was going to do, that's now lost, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a real opportunity now to come out and, you know, set up a new order, if you like. I think the country would be united now, where it was perhaps split on the Brexit idea. And, you know, UK PLC can't put in the right policies to make sure that we come out of this fighting, really, and in the best position.
Okay, yeah. I should really sound this off by playing Land and Hope and Glory or something like that. But anyway, Tony.
Hello. Can you believe it? I'm the biggest Europhile in the world, and I'm suddenly turning into a Boris fan. Can't believe it.
That's brilliant. Okay, Tony.
Okay.
Thank you very much.